Welcome to day 100 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, and I'm so happy to have you here with me on this milestone day of 100 days in the Word of God. That is very precious in the sight of the Lord and also for a blessing for your life. So today we are reading in the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 9 through 12, and we will see Israel embarking on a new era in its history, and it will be the era of the kings. And today's stories take us through the anointing of the first king of Israel, King Saul, by the prophet Samuel. So beginning now in the New American Standard Bible, we're reading 1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, the son of a Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take now with you one of the servants, and arise, go search for the donkeys." He passed through the hill country of Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come and let us return, or else my father will cease to be concerned about the donkeys and will become anxious for us." He said to him, "Behold now, there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor. All that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have set out." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sack, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, "Come, and let us go to the seer." For he who is called a prophet now was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the slope to the city, they found young women going out to draw water, and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered them and said, "He is. See, he's ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come into the city today, for the people have a sacrifice on the high place today. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him, before he goes up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now therefore, go up, for you will find him at once." So they went up to the city. As they came into the city, behold, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up to the high place. Now a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have regarded my people, because their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people." Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me where the seer's house is." Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's household?" Saul replied, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way?" Then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion that I gave you, concerning which I said to you, set it aside." Then the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time, since I said I have invited the people." So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the roof. And they arose early, and at daybreak Samuel called to Saul on the roof, saying, "Get up, that I may send you away." So Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. As they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Say to the servant that he may go ahead of us and pass on, but you remain standing now that I may proclaim the word of God to you." Chapter 10. Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him, and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? When you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you will go on further from there, and you will come as far as the Oak of Tabor, and there three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do." Then it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart. And all those signs came about on that day. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. It came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man there said, "Now, who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Now Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To look for the donkeys." And when we saw that they could not be found, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel has said to you." So Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but he did not tell him about the matter of the kingdom which Samuel had mentioned." Therefore Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to the sons of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought Israel up from Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the power of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But you have today rejected your God, who delivers you from all your calamities and your distresses. Yet you have said, no, but set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. Thus Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. Then he brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its families, and the Matrite family was taken. And Saul the son of Kish was taken, but when they looked for him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? So the Lord said, behold, he is hiding himself by the baggage. So they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people, from his shoulders upward. Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? Surely there is no one like him among all the people. So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. Then Samuel told the people the ordinances of the kingdom and wrote them in a book and placed it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his house. Saul also went to his house at Gibeah. And the valiant men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But certain worthless men said, how can this one deliver us? And they despised him and did not bring him any present, but he kept silent. Chapter 11. Now Nahash the Ammonite came up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. But Nahash the Ammonite said to them, I will make it with you on this condition, that I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you. Thus I will make it a reproach on all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said to him, let us alone for 7 days, that we may send messengers throughout the territory of Israel. Then, if there is no one to deliver us, we will come out to you. Then the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and spoke these words in the hearing of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now behold, Saul was coming from the field behind the oxen, and he said, what is the matter with the people that they weep? So they related to him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry. He took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout the territory of Israel by the hand of messengers, saying, whoever does not come out after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out as one man. He numbered them at Bezek, and the sons of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. They said to the messengers who had come, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you will have deliverance. So the messengers went and told the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Then the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do to us whatever seems good to you. The next morning, Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp at the morning watch and struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. Those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished deliverance in Israel. Then Samuel said to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they also offered sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Chapter 12. Then Samuel said to all Israel, behold, I have listened to your voice in all that you said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. Now, here is the king walking before you. But I am old and gray, and behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my youth, even to this day. Here I am. Bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you. They said, You have not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand. He said to them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have found nothing in my hand. And they said, He is witness. Then Samuel said to the people, It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. So now, take your stand, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did for you and your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt, and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around so that you lived in security. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, No, but a king shall reign over us, although the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Samuel said to the people, Do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you will still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's Bible passages, we see the beginning of a new era in Israel's history, and it's the era of the kings. And in this case, we see the start of the reign of King Saul, a king that was demanded by the people and that the Lord reluctantly allowed to come into the kingship, though God intended for the people of Israel to have a king at one point in history. This was not the time that the Lord had intended for Israel to have a king. So this generation, which demanded a king from Samuel and basically from the Lord, ended up with 40-year reign of a king that would bring another low point in Israel's history. Though he would have many military victories, because of his character, which will be revealed as we read in the next few days, spiritually, the nation would decline because of the leadership of this first king, Saul. But probably there is never a figure in the Bible who starts out better than Saul does, because we see that he begins in a very humble way. We see that when Samuel the prophet speaks to him about God's intention for him to be anointed king, his response is shock, actually. First of all, stating that I'm from the smallest tribe in Israel, Benjamin, and my family's the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why do you speak to me this way? His second statement about his family being the least is probably a big underestimate of his own making, because it actually said about his father that he was a great man, a man of power among the Benjamites. So he really underestimated his family there. But the truth was spoken when he said he's from the smallest tribe of Israel. And also the Benjamites had really suffered a blow and a reputation disaster, you could say, from the incident that we read about a few days ago, where the wicked men from Gibeah, the very place where Saul was from, had attacked that young woman, the concubine of that Levite, and then all of Israel rose up and went to fight with Benjamin, and literally that tribe was almost wiped out. So when he said, I'm from the smallest tribe, he really thought very low about his own tribe that he came from because of that incident, for sure. But he begins with humility, which any leader, this is a very important quality for a leader, to have humility and not to be arrogant, prideful, selfishly ambitious, and the like. So you could say that Saul actually started out well. And even later on, Samuel, in 1 Samuel 16, will say, you began because you saw yourself as small in your own eyes. And that was said in a complimentary way, that he began well. And that's one of the things I will say about King Saul, is that he did begin well. And we see him when he's anointed king. He even seems to recoil from being anointed when the day comes where Samuel the prophet calls all of Israel together and begins by lot to show that God has chosen a king, and the Benjamites are called by lot, and then Saul's family is called out by lot, and then Saul himself, and then no one can find him. And the reason is he's hiding among the baggage. Meaning when the weight of the reality of what was about to happen really pressed upon him, he must have felt himself unqualified and not up to the task that was about to be given to him. But reluctantly, he did come forward when the men were sent to get him, and he was proclaimed king. And all the people looking at him, this very tall and handsome man that he was, he certainly cut an imposing figure. He had a majestic bearing about him, a princely bearing, and he was a courageous man. He was not afraid to go into battle. So he had some things going for him in the very beginning of his reign. You know, later on, we will see the famous words that the Lord speaks to Samuel when King David is about to be chosen. The words that we find spoken to Samuel, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so it was really with the choice of King Saul. God gave the people of Israel a man that they could embrace as appearing to be kingly in his appearance, his outward appearance. He was head and shoulders above all the people, the scripture tell us, and that there was no one that looked better than he did. So God gave them what they desired, someone who had a striking appearance, looked kingly, and looked like he could lead them into battle. Obviously, that's not God's method of choosing men, but God gave them what they desired. And as it turned out, that would not be enough for leadership, for sure. But as he began, he started out well. And then his courage that he was known for kicked into gear when the Ammonites came up and said, "We're going to oppress you, and we're going to gouge out all the eyes of all the men of Israel to make you all a reproach." And all the people were so upset. And when the word came to Saul that this was the threats that had come from the Ammonites, from Nahash the Ammonite, when he was ready to besiege the town of Jabesh Gilead, Saul became angry. It says the Spirit of God came upon him mightily when he heard these words, and he took a yoke of oxen, cut them in pieces, and sent them throughout the territory of Israel by the hand of messengers, saying, "Whoever does not come out after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen." And the whole idea was, this was a message. Everybody come. We are going to be as one man, as an army, a mighty army, to fight against these Ammonites who are threatening one of the towns of Israel. And the people responded to his leadership at that moment. And they ended up bringing a great deliverance from the Ammonites and scattering them completely. So you could say Saul's first battle was a great success. And they had a big victory celebration, it says. Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. They all got together to renew the kingdom at Gilgal. And there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. So it was like a final coronation before God himself at Gilgal after that battle. So we see a good beginning with Saul. And actually, had he continued to listen to the guidance and the wisdom of Samuel and stayed faithful to what God revealed to him, Saul would have done well. God would have assisted Israel. But we see Saul's character defects or flaws even hinted at here in the very beginning of this story. And let me point out a few of them to you. First of all, it to me seems obvious that Saul was not a person who's interested in spiritual things. His complete lack of knowledge of Samuel the prophet being in the area and being someone that they could go and ask for counsel from seems to indicate he must not have been a person interested in spiritual things. Samuel was based only 20 miles away from Saul's family home. The fact that his own servant was the one that had to tell him all about the seer, and Saul seemed surprised about it. Really? Oh, we could go to him? Oh, what will we bring him? We have to pay him something. He treated him, when he heard about the idea from his servant that they could go to Samuel and inquire about the lost donkeys, as if he was some sort of fortune teller and they needed to give him something to get the information out of him. So his knowledge or awareness of spiritual things seemed very low, which is not a good start for a national leader. He seemed not to be even interested. And it would not have been unusual for the seer, someone of Samuel's stature in the entire nation, which it was stated in the previous chapters, we read that the whole nation of Israel was aware that Samuel had been raised up by God as a prophet. But that would only be true if you were interested in and followed spiritual goings on in the nation. You could ask somebody on the street if they've ever heard of a famous preacher in America, and they may never have heard of his name because they are not interested in spiritual things, never would watch Christian television or listen to Christian radio, and they have absolutely zero knowledge of the name of that person. Whereas if you asked any Christian in the country, they would know immediately who you're referring to because that person is interested in spiritual things. Well, in this case, I think that speaks to Saul's spiritual condition, that he did not come from a place of or a family that was interested in spiritual things, even though his father was a man of great power, according to what we read here in 1 Samuel. And so his father would have been someone who was obviously a man of wealth. He had livestock, he had servants, that they had never entertained Samuel in their home. That would have been a common thing for a man of wealth to have the seer come and eat with them and dine with them, etc. But that had obviously never occurred because Saul never was even aware of Samuel. So I think we see that he was not a person who was interested in spiritual things. And yet the prophet Samuel seemed determined to assist him, even though with the coronation of Saul as the king of Israel, he was essentially passing off the leadership that he had been walking in for the nation. Samuel was the de facto leader as the prophet, judge, and he was passing off his leadership to Saul. And the last chapter that we read said something very profound that Samuel said. He said, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way." In other words, he was saying these words to the people as well as to Saul. He was chastising them for having asked for a king, that was something that was evil in God's eyes. It wasn't God's timing. God wanted to be the leader of the nation, and it wasn't his timing to appoint a king. God had a king in mind who was actually not even going to be born for 10 more years after the time that Saul was first established as the king. And Saul would reign for 40 years before David would actually ascend to the throne. And that was the man after God's heart that God intended to be king of Israel. But the people required, insisted upon, demanded a king. And so God let them have the desire of their heart. But like the children of Israel before them, who refused to go into the promised land when it was the timing of God and ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, this group of Israelites demanded a king when it wasn't God's timing and ended up for 40 years with a king who was going to bring all kinds of trouble to the land. And we'll see that as the story continues. But God would have assisted Saul had he continued well, seeking the Lord, asking Samuel's counsel, and wanting to do things God's way and being careful to do it. Samuel was available to him. Samuel wasn't a young man at this point. He was probably a middle-aged man, but he still had a lot of years in him and was going to be around for years to be an advisor. And we'll see exactly what Saul does with Samuel's counsel and how that ends up being an issue in his life. And most likely because of his lack of spiritual interest, he wasn't so keen on doing everything that God required, as we will see. But these beginning chapters of his reign started out well, and Samuel was committed to trying to help him. In fact, he even sent Saul, when he first told him that he was going to become king, he gave him four signs that would confirm to Saul himself that it was indeed God's plan for his life to be the king. And those four signs he said that he would see in a single day came to pass exactly as Samuel told him, that he'd meet these men, that they'd be carrying bread and wine and meat, and that they would give him two loaves of bread. There were certain things that he was going to say, and that he would come upon prophets prophesying, and that he himself, Saul, would have the Spirit of God come on him, and he would begin to prophesy with them. I believe that Samuel hoped that with that encounter with the school of the prophets, in fact, it was Samuel who started the school of the prophets, where he was training up young men to walk in the power of the Spirit of God and prophesy and be prophets to the nation of Israel. I am sure that Samuel hoped that when that Spirit of God came upon him, that it would change his heart and it would give him a desire for things of God. But it's interesting that the proverb that went out after Saul began to prophesy was these words: "Is Saul among the prophets?" And that the reason that that became a proverb is it was obviously known about Saul and his family. They were not exactly people interested in spiritual things. And it would be a question like, do pigs fly? In other words, something that there's no way this could happen. So the question, is Saul among the prophets, was said in a way like astonished, like this couldn't be true. Because it was known, that was not his character. He wasn't a spiritual person. And yet here he was prophesying with prophets that he ran into along the way home because God had arranged that encounter for him. And I'm sure Samuel hoped that it would assist him in his leadership of the nation of Israel, because God wanted a godly leader for the nation, even though his timing wasn't this timing that the people had decided upon and demanded a king. So we will continue this story over the next few days. And I want you to consider that any person that is called into a leadership position, in this case, king, leader of a nation, political leader, the only way that they will be successful is if they are a person who look to God for their wisdom and allow themselves to be humble and have a heart for other people. As we see Saul's character revealed in these next days, you will see a tendency toward selfishness, a tendency toward petty jealousy, a tendency to only think of what's going to be good for him, not for the whole nation, not a heart that shows how he's interested in the entire nation, but his own household instead. And those things will be very detrimental to him and to his leadership. And so if you're a leader in any area of life, whether it's an employer, as an employer, you're a leader of a team, perhaps in your place of employment, maybe you're a manager, maybe you're a business owner, so you lead people in the particular work that you do. Consider your need to pray and ask God for wisdom in daily decisions. That's the kind of leadership that God wanted for Israel, for a nation. It's the kind of leadership God wants for your family, parents, that will pray for the decisions they make that affect their family. In a workplace, the same. Only a God-fearing and a person who really relies on the wisdom of God will really be successful in God's eyes as a leader. And that's what God wanted for the nation of Israel. And that's what we will see is lacking as we continue to hear the story of this first king, Saul. God bless you and give you a prosperous day.